Take care of my sister and me.
Yeah. prayers, you know, sometimes we lessen the force, the power that prayer really has, and don't ever think that our prayers go unheard. So we're in 1 Thessalonians. We better get rolling. We've been in chapter 5 for a while, and what a blessing this has been. And I feel that what Paul is instructing, these encouragements, please read it again on your own. Go over it again. Paul is encouraging these early believers in their faith as they have to walk amongst unbelievers, as they walked in an area, Thessalonica, that was covered with idolatry and just regular stuff and regular people and mockers and blah, blah, you know, just like what we do today in our workplaces, in our town, our family units. He was just trying to encourage them that don't ever give up on God. Don't ever lessen or shorten the reach that his arm has in each one of our lives individually. So as much as this was for those early believers, this is 100% for each one of us today, if we'll just let it, you know, come into us. So I'm sure you're in Thessalonians 5. I was starting to think, and what I was shown this week, to go along with this last part of Paul's epistle. If you're visiting today, I have some really weird thoughts that go on in my attic, okay? So bear with me as I try to, you know, what God was trying to show me. So it was almost like what I had this thought was, it was myself talking with God, and you know, and myself mostly, but I'm sure you. How many of us made New Year's resolutions this year? It's only February now, right? So this was only like last month, and that's a common thing. My New Year's resolution this year was not to make any more New Year's resolutions. So if you made those, if you just even said to yourself, you know, I think I'm going to exercise a little bit. I think I'm going to change my diet a little bit. I think I'm going to buy a bigger pair of pants finally, so I don't try to get into the, you know, we make all these things. How many of you dropped some of those thoughts that you really wanted to press forward to this year? No hands, right? Okay, let's pray for, no. You know, why do we drop those things? Okay, so if you did make a resolution or you thought about that, why do we drop them? And I started thinking about that. Okay, we drop these things because sometimes as we get into them, the expectation is too high, right? Like what I said I'm going to do starting after the New Year's Eve night, and we'll eat and get a... It's too high of an expectation. Maybe I shot a little bit too high on that one. I'll lessen it a little bit. Sometimes we have too big of a list on those things that I'm going to tune myself up now. I've had it. That's it. And we make this list. And Pat and I, and I hope and pray some of you, we have yellow pads at home. And we make lists every morning. Church lists, ranch lists that are responsibilities on the ranch. JJ, the list is getting bigger, buddy. Spring's coming. He's our new helper on the ranch. Family, the ranch, the church. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden you read it, and it just gets to a point where you say, this is too much. This is overwhelming. I don't know if I can ever accomplish what I want to do in my life. And I think our spiritual life goes along with that. In some of our spiritual goals or resolutions, some of our spiritual spots we want to attain to, and we get all excited and we think, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm never doing that again. Yeah, I'm going to do that. All of a sudden Monday comes and the expectation is a little high, isn't it? Seems like I've been involved in this for so long, I don't know if I can get out of it. And all of a sudden a little frustration comes in, a little doubt comes in. Is God really going to help me here? And that's what I started thinking. What happens is, with those physical New Year's resolutions, with our spiritual resolutions that we try, those things that get in the way, we all of a sudden start to doubt our salvation. We start to doubt if God really is listening. Is he really loving me? We have this fear that he's going to maybe throw us away, or he's not so happy with me right now, or God is displeased, and how am I ever going to get back into his graces? What we need to hear and see from this section we're going to be in today is that God is not dropping us because of dropping some of our expectations, lowering our bar in a sense, if you would. This doesn't mean that anything and everything goes. Please don't read that far into it. But I want us all, myself included, to walk out of here and know God is not done with me. God is not throwing me away, and God hasn't dropped me today because I did or didn't do this or that. God loves us. God loves us right where we are. There's nothing you and I can do to make him love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. God loves us. He's the God of love. And I want to try to bring that forth today. So today's epistle, as we read this, and you and I reread it again and again, the way that Paul ends this epistle and these encouragements could be a new start for some of us if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. You know, some of us is like, what does he want to do? He just wants to use us. He wants to use us wherever we are, in any situation that we're in. He's got a purpose for every one of us, and he's not going to throw us away until he fulfills that purpose in us. And we can't fulfill God's purpose, please listen to this, without God's power. You can try on resolutions until the cows come home. You can try on spiritual stuff, making goals and trying to attain. You can try and try and try, but it is not going to happen without the power of God's Spirit. That's why he told us in the beginning, this quench not the Spirit. Don't put them out. Don't put them aside. Don't not listen or whatever. So let's read 1 Thessalonians. You know, I want to read it. The original Greek brings out some serious notes that we miss as we read some of our translations. And we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 22. In the Greek, it's a little bit more than, in mine in 22, it says, abstain from all appearances, okay? So this says, you must abstain away from all appearance of evil. And the very God, verse 23, of peace, make you completely holy beyond your dreams, and your entire spirit and soul and body be kept blamelessly beyond your dreams within the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who outwardly is calling you, who also will accomplish it. Verse 25, brethren, you must continuously pray for us. You must greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I am continuously urging you by the Lord to make this epistle read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Wow. Wow. So as we break this down, let's look at it today. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil is how Paul starts, is another one of those, I feel, not a demand, they're character and nature lessons for us, that if we apply them and give the Holy Spirit that free rein in our life, that yielding to him, these things will come, just like an apple tree, a pear tree. I mean, it takes time, but the fruit eventually comes. And I've said, you ever see an apple tree? You guys are, back east, we got apple trees and stuff back there. We don't grow them up here so good. Did you ever see an apple tree going, boom, and an apple comes out? You know, just trying so hard to be an apple tree. It just happens if it's mature and it's nourished right and it's fertilized right. That's how we are with God. Don't give up. God's not done with you is, again, that point that we have to keep in mind, but what Paul is saying, in order for that to happen properly, abstain. What is that word abstain? It means stay away, flee, separate, don't partake. Boy, a lot in one little word. Abstain, stay away, flee, separate, as in comparison to verse 21 just before. Remember, he told us, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So Paul's trying to tell us as believers, there is this good and there is this evil. And he's saying, if we want to be growing in the Lord, if we want to be pleasing, if we don't want that constant feeling of I've become less in God's eyes than I am, and he's going to throw us away or lower the bar or do away with us, we have to understand we need to cling to that which is good and abstain, stay away from that which is evil. Now, some of your translations might say abstain from every, it says abstain from every appearance next. Some might have form in your translation, I don't know. And I think both of them could be interchanged pretty good. Any kind of appearance, whether that's to me, is that evil? Or to somebody else as they're looking at us? Paul is saying abstain from every appearance or form. The word in the Greek means that which is seen. A form of you, so am I seeing it? And some of us know that. You ever walk into something and you go, oh boy, that's not good. Paul's saying, well, get away from it. Abstain from it. Don't go near it. Flee from it if you have to. And, you know, some of us don't want to. And I'll speak to some of our younger children, kids, you know. Sometimes you want to be in the group with the guys and the girls. And if I walk away from this, they're going to think I'm something. I don't know what the new words are. Back in the 50s and 60s, you were a punk. Okay? I don't want to be a punk, if that means anything to you. To flee from it, if you can't resist it, if you can't push back from the force of it pulling you in, God is saying flee from it. And we have that example of Joseph with Potiphar's wife. You know, adultery, that she was trying to pull him in. That guy chose to run out the house naked instead of falling prey to this evil that was there. And he didn't care what anybody thought about him running out. God is saying that to us today. I need you to, whatever spot you're in, I haven't thrown you away. I'm not going to throw you away. But you need to avoid this form or this appearance of evil. Why is that? Because I feel if we're not ashamed, if we're not worried about the appearance of evil and what we're stepping into, or what somebody might see of us being examples of Christ, if we're not afraid of the appearance of it, it's not going to be long before the commission of that enters into my life. What I allow myself to see and read and hear, what I allow to absorb into my system, it won't be long if I just say, oh, well, everybody's doing it. Gee, Disney curses. You know, we have all these excuses. It won't be long before I find myself in that exact position that we usually point fingers at everybody that's out there. I'll be in that. And God is just trying to say, I just need you to avoid, abstain, get away from all these appearances of evil. What's evil? What is evil? What, you know, there's another one of those words. So when you think of that, you know, right, there's two words for evil in the Bible. One is pornos, and we know what we get from that, don't we? Porn, pornography. Is he talking about that? Maybe to somebody in here. If that's a problem, flee from it. Run from it. Get away from it. The other one is kakos, isn't it? I think that's the other one. Peter's our Greek scholar here. That means anything that's in opposition to God. So is everything sin? No. Is everything evil? If it's in opposition to what God has done when he saved our lives, made us his, took us out of what we volunteered, please, Lord, help me, save me, however you said it. Anything that's in opposition to what he's saying then is something that he's saying, Doug, I want you to flee, stop. Get away from, don't partake in any of the evil. Kids, parents at this time, or adults, one uncorrected, wrong decision can alter the whole course of our life. Do we understand that? Is God trying to be a hard God? And no fun being a Christian. You got to walk around, you know, as a, like a monk. You know, that's what this spot, the monks, remember they had this here, you know, and you walk around, you have no fun, no fun at all. That's not what God is doing. He knows what the end result of that is. And he knows that one bad decision, when I don't abstain from that, when I sit there and think, oh, you know, well, I allow 5 F-bombs on the movies that I watch, then I take it off. Why do I allow 5? Maybe there'll be a seven in the middle. Am I willing to cross that one out? God is saying one bad decision that's outside of my will for your life can alter the whole course. And all of a sudden I become numb. All of a sudden I become a little acceptable. Oh, well, you know, it's not that bad. Oh, well, what else is there? Oh, who cares? Well, you know, do you hear what I'm saying? The same thing that Lauren just brought up here. Most churches won't take a stand for life. We're to take a stand for life, period. God says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, life or death. Which one? I'm offering it to you. And it's not like when we were kids, remember? Where's the candy, D? Which hand is it in, D? You know, God is just saying, here it is. Life or death, choose life. Avoid all appearances of evil. One decision. And you know, when we say evil, I ask that question, and I'm kind of rushing, I'm looking at the time. Forgive me if you've got something to do today. We all need to hear this. I need to hear this. What's evil? So we say, well, smoking, this is good Christian, mature Christian thinking here. What's evil? Smoking, drinking, drugs, and pornography. All the things that I'm not doing, right? That's what we like to focus in on. But those things that are in opposition to God, they include unbelief, don't they? In Hebrews it says, take heed, brethren. Who's Paul speaking to? He's speaking to us. Take heed, brethren, lest any evil heart of unbelief keeps you from entering into God's rest. So all of a sudden, this avoid all appearances of evil, it goes into unbelief. It goes into criticism. It goes into judgments. It goes into gossip. It goes into all these things that maybe only I know in my head here. Who cares what people think about me? Who cares about what I'm doing? Let them look at me. I don't care. God is saying, I care. I want you to really start to walk in these days into some of these steps that I've ordered for you. So Paul's list here, as we look at it all and read it from 16 to 22, were, they weren't just resolutions. Oh, I'll try that one. Oh, I'll try this one. This is, I might be able to do this one, rejoice evermore, and I'll not always. Well, I'm not going to be able to, you know, do this. They're not suggestions, but they're encouragements to our nature and to our character. Why should I do that? Is there an end to me living this Christian life out just loud, not quiet, but telling people about Christ, telling them about the love that he has? What's the result of it? And is there anything good for me to keep on walking in these last days in a way that would increase, as Paul is trying to tell the Thessalonians? And I feel that 23 is the answer to that. Yes, when we abstain from all appearances of evil, Paul is saying, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. And I love the way he puts that in, because we talk body, soul, spirit. We're triune beings. But Paul and the Holy Spirit show that God is going to preserve us wholly, completely. You want to talk about holistic medicine today. That's the big buzzword, I guess. This is holistic right here from the very beginning. God is. So remember where I start. I'm a duck hunter. Get enough lead in the air, you're going to hit something. God is not going to throw you away today because you're not doing this. He's just asking you, please get a little stronger in our faith here. I'm not going to throw you away. I'm not going to disown you. What I'm going to do is me, the God of peace, and herein lies human sovereignty and the human responsibility. God's sovereignty, human responsibility. God is trying to say to someone, I am going, because I'm the God of peace, number one, to sanctify you, sanctify, set apart, holy, for his use. There is positional sanctification, which means the moment that you ask Christ into your life as the Lord and Savior of your life, you are positionally sanctified. Boom, set aside there. There is a progressive sanctification that goes on in our lives every single day. Do you ever notice that? Some days you're a little bit, you seem a little more holy in my eyes than I was yesterday. Maybe a little bit less. That's progressive sanctification, and that's going to go on until our last breath. And then there's perfect sanctification when we enter into the throne room by whose efforts?
Jesus.
Not, amen, not mine. This is my resolution. I wanted to do that. I wanted to stop kicking the dog. Pooh, get out of the way. You know what? And the dog is metaphoric. God is going to do it if you're his. And I'd like to say, you know, raise your hand if you're his. If you're not, raise your heart. Get into this relationship. God is saying, if you're mine, because some of us think, because I dropped the bar, I lowered it, God is mad at me, he's going to throw me away. God is saying, I am not going to. I'm going to sanctify you wholly, completely, blameless, not sinless. This is not sinless perfection. We're not going to all of a sudden get to a point where we never sin, we never think wrong, we never do things wrong. Blameless, meaning that everything went on him. Do we understand that? I sat there. Who was telling me this morning that, you know, Peter, you were doing Rhema, the word of God, all of a sudden the light comes on. The light, and it's like, I knew that, but I didn't know it like that. We need to know that God is going to, he's just going to have us blameless because everything went on Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. It says, my sin, Doug's sin, was put on him. He went to that cross. He didn't open his mouth. He was like a sheep that went before his shearers, dumb, didn't say anything. Why didn't he say it? Because he took the blame for me. I have to understand that. So when I stand there, did I have faults in this world? Am I going to give an answer to some of the things, get a reward, lose reward? Yes. But to God, when God is talking to us, however that's going to happen, he's going to look at his son Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, she's mine, he's mine. And we're blameless because everything was paid for at the cross. Now that's what keeps us moving in a direction that we don't feel that God is throwing us away. Blameless, no record of wrongs. Verse 24, I'll hurry up. Faithful is he that calls you, who will do it, is what mine says. Do what? What's it? Remember the little rascals? You know, I want 10 cents worth of it. What's it? I don't know, but when I taste it, I'll know it. I mean, I've remembered that for 50 some odd years, even more probably. God is going to do it. Do what? Do what? Consider you blameless the day that you arrive in heaven. Sanctify you wholly, completely, every part of us, blameless, holy, sanctified. It also means that he's going to come again, because that's the context of this. He's going to do this because it says he's going to sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means he's going to come again. When? I don't know. I don't know. Mark Smith didn't know, okay? Mark didn't know that yesterday was his last day. I mean, why does it hit us so bad? And 2 weeks from now, I'll just go right about my own business. It's because I don't consider what Christ is saying. I love you. I want you. I've got stuff for you that you can't even imagine. And I'm going to do it. You know, and I'm the kind of guy, my heels are worn down from screaming and holding back, saying, God, no, that's enough. I gave up. I don't want, you know, I don't want to go to heaven like that. I want to be able to know this is what he promised me today. He's not throwing me away. How do we increase this? How do we allow this? I might even throw this into next week's sermon. The three pillars of our faith are right there in verses 25 through 27. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. You know, and I think a holy handshake would do fine today. But, you know, in this culture, men, you've seen that. They kissed each other on the cheek. Women kissed each other on the cheek. But what we have today is we've got this deal. I just can't wait to go over and give Sister So-and-so a nice big hug. You know, there's lust in it sometimes. And what he's saying is make sure that is holy. When we were growing up, she was a Roman Catholic. I was a left footer. I was a Presbyterian. I went to church for the, you know, just for the game room. But when we used to dance, remember at the club room, I didn't dance. I do this, you know. But there was always somebody who came and said, leave room for the Holy Spirit. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Make sure you aren't too, that's what Paul's trying to say. Greet one another. Make sure it's holy. Make sure our thoughts are pure. So I said, these are the three pillars. We have prayer. We have fellowship. And I charge you in 27 by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Prayer, fellowship, and the word, all in a balance, is how we do it. That's the necessity of Bible studies. That's the necessity of fellowship together. That's the necessity of coming to church so that we might be able to hear these things that God is bringing us home. He's bringing us home completely, and he's going to bring us home blameless. There shouldn't be any fear in any one of us. He ends this chapter in 28. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians and don't, chapter 1, Paul started this book with grace. Paul ends this epistle or book or letter with grace. Do we know God's grace today? Every one of us is struggling with something. Every one of us might be doubting, is God hearing me? Does God really care? Is God listening to my prayer? Have I gone so far that maybe I've stepped out of his circle of protection? And the answer of that is no, because in Corinthians, and I prayed it before, here it comes again, my grace is sufficient for you unto this day. Anything that comes, in your weakness, in my weakness of not being able to do this, not being able to keep my spiritual resolutions, God is saying, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my strength can be seen. Wow. I want to show that. So I'll end with this. Pat and I were listening to a teaching this week, and Mike caught me doing this, and Mike was laughing at me this morning. I told him I'm navigating. I'm not computer literate, if any of you are wondering what he's doing. But Pat and I heard this that went so close to what we're, you know, those who think I've lost my salvation, those who think I haven't kept those promises, and God is going to throw us away. He's not going to. Max Lucado, some of you have heard of Max Lucado. Max Lucado got a letter from his insurance company that they were dropping him. Anybody ever got that? So here was this letter coming to Max Lucado that they were dropping him because he had 7 speeding tickets. His wife backed into someone, and then he did another one that he failed to report it until too late. So anyhow, they were dropping him. And he said, all of a sudden this thought came to me, what if God was like that? And I know that some of us might think that's what God is like. Remember, Mike, I asked you, how can I get this? Here it comes. So the insurance company sent him a letter, told him they were dropping him. Oh boy, that's why I hate these. It was so easy putting a dime in the thing. Right? You don't understand it. I was someplace when I said, I'm still used to putting a dime in a payphone, and this girl was like maybe 18 at the counter. She goes, a dime? You have it, yeah, but you don't have the part I want.
Okay.
What part do I want? I want the dear Mrs. Smith. There it is. Letter from heaven. So this would be like the letter from the insurance company. I'm writing in response to this morning's request for forgiveness. I'm sorry to inform you that you have reached your quota of sins. Our records show that since employing our services, you have erred 7 times in the area of greed, and your prayer life is substandard when compared to others of your age and circumstance. Further review reveals that your understanding of doctrine is in the lower 20th percentile, and you have excessive tendencies to gossip. Because of your sins, you're a high-risk candidate for heaven. You understand that grace has its limits. Grace sends his Jesus sends his regrets and kindness regards and hopes that you will find some other form of coverage. You know, Max just made it up in his head, I guess, but that's not the Lord you serve. That's not the Lord you gave your life to. He's not going to cancel us. He's not going to stop the coverage. His blood covers everything. Today, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, please understand he's doing a work in every one of us. And all he's asking you is to come. All he's asking you is taste. See that he's good. And watch what happens, because one day we're all going to be standing, every one of us, in his presence, rejoicing. So, Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that a lot of this, Father, could be scrambled in the seam, but let us hear one thing, that your grace covers us. You're never going to throw us away. These things that you put here, Lord, you desire to have them in our lives, and your Holy Spirit will help us to just continue in this path till the day we stand face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship, and Seth will be up here like every Sunday. If you need prayer, come on up or turn to somebody and ask for it.